Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 26 tonight, and we are in a study working our way through the book of Psalms on Wednesday nights. So thank you so much for being in here, and that's a major undertaking if you've seen how many chapters are in the book of Psalms, all right? But we'll make it through it eventually. It might take us 10 years, but we'll make it through eventually, all right? Psalms chapter 26. If you found your place and if you're willing and able, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Psalms chapter 26 this evening. Psalms chapter 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. So gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, speak to us by your word. Instruct us and change us by your word as well. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The word in the passage that our attention is immediately directed to it is the word integrity. The word integrity. They sit as bookends on the chapter. It's the word in the first verse. It's the word in the second to the last verse, verse 11. In fact, it's almost the same phrase. It says, verse 1, I have walked in mine integrity. Then it says, verse 11, I will walk in mine integrity. These sit as the precursor and the postcursor of what the entire chapter is about. They sit as indicators. Man, everything you're about to hear is David's integrity, and everything you just heard is about David's integrity. David is standing on these two legs, if you will. I have walked, past tense, in integrity. I will walk, future tense, in integrity. This is what David is standing on. This is what David is standing with. So everything in this psalm is related to integrity. Man, if I asked you tonight to define integrity, how would you define it? Man, integrity and character, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, are twin sisters. Man, integrity and character. Character, who you are when no one's looking. Your integrity, it's what makes you who you are when no one's looking. Man, it's the decision you actually made. Character, who you are when no one's looking. Man, your integrity, that is what drove you. That is what caused you. That is what you actually did. That was the determining factor in whether you were or whether you weren't a person of integrity. Man, strong words in this chapter, right? Verse number one, judge me, O Lord. Isn't that a funny idea in our day and in our age? Judge me, O Lord. Man, this is something we say today. Man, nobody gets to judge me. Don't judge me. You ever heard somebody tell you that? Man, don't judge me. Man, here's David saying, judge me. Judge me, examine me. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord. The idea with the word examine, right? That idea is literally x-ray me. He's saying, God, take an x-ray of me. Let's take a time out for a second. I think Nixon is lost. Can somebody... Here comes Scott and Gabby. All right, there we go. I was wondering. All right, there we go. Good. Perfect. Nixon, you are in church before your parents. You are a wonderful spiritual child. You're so much more spiritual than your father. Judge me, verse 1. X-ray me, verse 2. That's what he's saying. And what is he basing it on? He's basing it on his integrity. Man, I will never forget taking Gabriel when Gabriel broke his arm. I'll never forget taking him to the doctor. The doctor takes his x-ray, puts it up onto the big white light, right? And he puts it up there. And you can see Gabriel's arm. Man, the bone is doing like this big S all the way down on his arm, right? I mean, it was moving, right? It was queasy. It made you kind of shake for a second. Man, the x-ray saw right through. Man, you could see it all the way through. That's what David is saying here. God, look at me all the way through. The Bible scholars would tell us about this situation, this particular chapter. This is a psalm of trouble. Man, maybe this is when Absalom is coming to power. Maybe this is all the accusations being made against David. Perhaps this is the undercurrent. Perhaps this is what's driving Joab. Oh, David, I'm not for sure he's our king anymore. Man, David, I'm not for sure he knows what he's doing. Man, can we really trust David? And at this time of trouble in David's life, this is when he writes this psalm, a psalm of trouble, a psalm of trouble. Man, David's in trouble. David's being accused. David's being mistreated. Anybody ever been mistreated? Anybody ever had trouble? Anybody ever had accusation? Man, that's David here. Man, David being mistreated. David being accused. David being oppressed. David in trouble. Judge me, oh God. I have walked in integrity. Man, three ideas then. Number one, notice from David an examined life. Notice from David, an examined life. David is quite literally calling for vindication. In fact, the word judge, translated in other places later on in the Bible, vindicate me, God. Prove me right. That's what he's saying. David's saying, defend me, defend my reputation, defend my honor, defend my position, give me justice, judge me, O Lord. And then you see the next word, for. And this is how we would understand the word because. Man, judge me, O Lord, because, or for the reason of. David says, judge me, O Lord, for what? What reason could David go to God and say, God, you judge me? Man, for what basis would David lay this examination on? It would be, man, because I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted in the Lord. Man, an examined life. David's saying, examine my life. God, you know, I have trusted in you. David's saying, God, my trust, my foundation, my hope, my security, my surety, my safety, it's found in that I have trusted in you. The tallest building in all the world stands in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa. I had to listen to that like 15 times on how to pronounce it on the YouTube app. Pronounce this building over and over. Man, more than 2,700 feet up into the air. This is the building that's behind me. It's 2,700 feet into the air, 160 floors. A couple interesting facts about this building. It has the world's fastest elevator. It travels at 40 miles per hour. I'm pretty sure we have the world's slowest elevator. It travels about 400 miles an hour. It has the highest swimming pool in the world. The 79th floor. I just want to go get in that pool, just like I say. I mean, I've swam on the 79th floor, right? But the secret to this building is a beautiful building, of course, Dubai, known for a lot of beautiful things. Man, beautiful building. But the thing about, the secret about this building is not its beautiful structure, not its pool on the 79th floor, not the fast elevator. The secret to this building is found underground. Man, for a year before they began construction, workers spent a year pouring, digging, in order to get the foundational supports that were needed and required for this building to stand. Man, the reason the building is safe is because the building is standing on a strong foundation. The reason the building is safe is because the foundation is strong. It has integrity. This is the same thing David is arguing for. Man, if our lives are to be secure, man, think integrity. That is our foundation. Man, our foundation rooted in Christ. Our foundation built on Christ. Man, to the degree that you've built your life on Christ, you will not waver. You will not move. You will not be shaken. Man, no matter the opposition, no matter the accusation, no matter the trouble. Trouble, accusation abounding. Man, I shall not slide. Look at the end. Verse 1. I shall not slide. Why? Man, my foundation is sure. Man, years digging it out. Deep supports. Good foundation. The building's safe because the foundation is strong. Man, the reason we can be sure is because the foundation is strong. If we've built our lives on God's word, there's nothing to fear. Man, if we've built our lives on God's word, there is nothing to fear. But it is quite possible that we would have a public persona, but no foundation. Man, it's quite possible to have this beautiful architecture, but no foundation, so that when the winds come and the rains fall and the earth shakes, man, down goes the house. Why? Because the foundation was no good. Man, Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways, it shall be known. Man, the psalmist is teaching us this. It's quite possible to live one way publicly, but be something different privately. Man, it's possible to live one way in this persona, one way with this image, one way with this character, one way with this flamboyancy, but to have no foundation at all. Man, it's possible to be one way in public and a whole nother way in private, but that is the opposite of integrity. That's hypocrisy. That's the opposite of integrity. That's hypocrisy, hypocrisy. To put on the mask, to pretend to be what you're not, for the heart to be one way, and the hands, and the mouth, and the face, and the feet, to pretend to be something different. Man, to live without integrity is to invite God's discipline into your life. Man, can you say tonight, verse number 1, I have walked in mine integrity. God, judge me, because I've trusted in you. And I know this house will not shake. Man, I've built my life on the word of God. Man, I can, and I have trusted in the Lord. Man, number 2, tested. Man, tested. Look at verse 2. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and heart. 3 times. Three, basically the same way. He says the same thing 3 different ways. He says, examine me. He says, x-ray me. He says, prove me. Like run me through the mill. Man, put me through all the point inspection and you can check me out. Man, examine me. Run me through the checkpoints. Man, prove me. And then he says, try me. And then it's an interesting phrase because it reads, try my reins and my heart. The actual language there, it's a funny idea. It's actually, try me by my kidneys and my heart. kind of loses its allure, right? Like, man, try you by your kidneys. Try me by the inside. That's what David is saying. David is saying, God, go all the way through me and try me. Man, I wonder tonight, could you say that? Man, like dipping the sponge down into the bucket of water, picking it up, David is saying, wring me through. Just wring me out and see what is inside of me. Man, could you say that tonight? God, prove me. God, examine me. God, try me all the way down into the kidneys. Man, what's David putting on the line? David's putting on the line his authenticity. David's putting on the line transparency. Man, there is transparency in the life lived with integrity. There is trembling with the life lived in hypocrisy. There is transparency with the life that's lived with integrity. Man, there's trembling, shaking. Who's going to find out? Looking over the shoulder. Who's going to know that I said that about her? Man, I don't want him to find out. Man, there's trembling in the life lived with hypocrisy. Man, there's transparency. God, you can search me up. You can search me down. David is basically saying this. God, I have nothing to hide. Man, examine me. X-ray me. John chapter 3, Jesus says that the single greatest reason why people hate him is because they love their sin. In John 3, basically he says his sin is darkness and he himself, Jesus, is the light. So when you come face to face with Jesus, it's like coming face to face with an infinite watt spotlight. It's just blazing in your life, and it reveals every corner. It reveals every crack. It reveals every crevice. It reveals every flaw. When you come face to face with the light of the world, it exposes everything in your life. Man, so people say, don't give me all that Jesus stuff. You can talk about anything but Jesus. Don't talk about that Jesus stuff. Why? Man, they don't want to be exposed. They love their darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Man, because in the light, you can't get away with as much as you get away with in the darkness. Too many people running around hiding in our darkness and our sin. Not enough people walking around in integrity. Walking around with transparency. Walking around with authenticity. Try me. Search me. I am as transparent as I can be. I've got nothing to hide. Wring me out like a sponge. Examine me all the way down to my kidneys. Man, think about this. David is standing on this for authentication. David is standing on this. God, try me, examine me, search me through and through for authentication. That's what he's saying. God, you authenticate me. I don't need anybody else to authenticate me. It's really interesting in the Bible that genuine spiritual leaders never authenticated themselves in the Bible. God always authenticated them. They didn't have to stand up and say, listen to me, I'm really, really important. Paul doesn't come and say, listen, you should listen to me, I'm important. Paul comes and Paul says, I'm a servant, I'm the chief among sinners. Man, he let God do the authenticating. Man, real spiritual leaders don't need to authenticate themselves. They don't need to prop up themselves. They don't need to bolster up themselves. Just they let God take care of that. How many of you know God is the single greatest authenticator? Why? Because God alone can see through down to the kidneys. Man, God sees all the way through down into the intestines. God sees all the way through, man, even to the heart. And that's what David is standing on. David says, I don't need false authentication. I don't need false validation. I'll stand on your examination alone. God, you examine me. I was thinking of false authenticators in our lives. Man, what are those false authenticators? Man, think of it as a church, false authenticators. Man, one of the greatest dangers that a church can shoot for authentication is hidden behind a word called relevance. Man, we just want to be relevant. Man, it is the greatest danger when you shoot at relevance is the fear of man over the fear of God. Man, we shouldn't try to be you know, not relevant, but when you shoot only for relevance, man, when your single passionate desire as a ministry is, we want to appeal to man, we want to reach a greater audience, man, when that becomes your single greatest desire, man, then you lose the desire of wanting to please God. Man, that can be a real struggle inside of a church. Man, when you lose fear of God and you start appeasing only man, you start saying stuff that men want to hear and stop saying stuff that God actually said. Man, you start saying stuff that people want to hear and you stop saying things that God actually said that are difficult things to understand. We'll talk about that on Sunday morning. That's going to be a fun lesson. Jesus uses a parable with the Syrophoenician woman, and he says, I would give you something to eat, but I've got to feed the children, and I don't have enough. There's no food left over. It's not wise to give food to a dog. Okay, but I just want you to understand, Jesus just called her a dog. That's not a compliment. It's not like, yo, dog, what's up? No, that is not a compliment. Imagine that. Man, you should come to our church. We really want you to come to our church. Man, you'll find happy people, faithful people, good people. Man, we'll even call you a dog when you get there. Man, Jesus said some difficult things. How about the man who comes and says, Jesus, I want to follow you. I just need you to give me a little bit of space so I can go bury my family. Man, let the dead bury the dead. You just leave them where they are. Come and follow me if you're going to follow me. But if you're not going to follow me, I'll see you later. Well, when Jesus said that, he didn't actually mean. I think he meant, let the dead bury the dead. Man, if you don't love me, and your love for me so surpasses your love for everyone else, so that it looks like you hate your father, hate your mother, hate your sister, hate your brother, well, then you really have no love for me. Man, we try to water that down. Why? Because that's a harsh message. That's a mean message. Man, you know, Pastor, you can't call people sinners. Hey, listen, I'm not the one to stand in judgment over their sin, but God's word is the truth of God. And where God's word says this is a sin, man, we ought to desire for that message to be preached, for that truth to be taught, not to just be relevant. We start saying what people want to hear, and people don't want to hear things about sin. And people don't want to hear things about coming judgment. And people don't want to feel things like conviction or guilt or shame. We don't want any of that. Just let us feel easy and let us be comfortable, and definitely don't talk about our money. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm going through it and I'm like, I try to tell people this, like, I can see you. You know that, right? I can see your face. It's not like an invisible shield here where I can't, like, and sometimes when I'm preaching, like, I'm on something difficult and I just know it. And, you know, I just happen to, like, glance, you know, and just catch eyes. And immediately in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is not going good. You know, you're getting, like, one of these looks. Literally, a woman in church one time, she literally did this. She went. Safe to say, she did not want to hear what was being said. Like, she literally went, hey, hands up and all. I mean, people behind her are like looking at her, laughing, taking pictures of her. You know, she's just doing this. Man, sometimes we don't do that physically, but man, we certainly do that. My heart on that is I don't ever really want to preach and be a source of offense. That's not my goal. I want to be offensive. No, that's not the goal. Man, but certainly I do want to stand and say God's truth and God's word. And if offense is taken at the word of God, man, that's between you and God. And you can take it out on the preacher if you want, but that's between you and God. Man, in our day, just like David's day, people were pulling back. Man, fear of man, fear of man. David is pushing forward in humility, in grace, but in confidence on God's word. I'm not saying let's be unnecessarily cruel, okay? Not saying let's be unnecessarily mean. I don't think there's a place for meanness behind the Word of God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's walk in humility. Let's walk in grace. But let's walk in confidence. What God's Word says is what God's Word says. Man, I think of false authenticators, church relevance, false authenticators, image maintenance. Man, we spend so much time giving attention to the image of what we want people to have of us. We spend so much energy trying to make sure this image is this image we're portraying is this, you know, fancy, awesome, amazing, beautiful, fun, happy, joy image. And it's not even true. We spend so much energy on social media and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever's next. I don't even know all the different avenues. We spend so much in trying to create this image of this life that we have. Man, trying to create this image of this relationship that we have, and it's empty. It's fake. And all we do is post these photos. Oh, big time, fun time. Oh, no pain, no sorrow, no grief, no struggling. Man, creating this false image to appeal to someone who is our friend so that we can get a thumbs up. Man, image maintenance, false authenticator. Man, church relevance, false authenticator. Man, I think about our money. Man, we buy certain possessions, we wear designer brands, we want to be fancy, we want to be liked. Man, why? Man, we want people to think we're in. We want people to think we're high class. And I'm certainly not saying and arguing that we should just, you know, hey, forget it, and let's just walk around in flip-flops and, you know, dirty jeans and wrinkled shirts. I'm not arguing for that. But, man, there can be a pursuing of possessions. There can be a pursuing of money. There can be a pursuing of the next big thing, the next addition. I love what Adrian Rogers said. He said, we spend money we don't have to create an image that isn't true to impress people we don't even like. Man, we spend money we don't have to create an image that isn't true, to impress people we don't even like. Man, false authenticators, what people think about me. False authenticators, this image maintenance I got to keep up. False authenticators, church relevance. Man, false authenticators, false religion. That somehow my goodness keeps me right with God. That somehow my religiousness is what's granting me favor. That somehow my church attendance is why I'm so blessed and why you're so bad. No. False authority is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Man, it's according to His mercies that He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And but by the grace of God, there go I. Man, before you drive by somebody and go, oh my goodness, I can't even believe it. And stick your nose in the air and piously cast condemnation on them. Man, remember Paul's words. Man, if it wasn't for God's undeserved and unobligated goodness in your life, you'd be in the same place. And to assume that you wouldn't is to not understand, Syrophoenician woman, how much of a dog you are really like. Pastor, did you just call me a dog? Hey, church relevance is a false authenticator. Man, it's not right to take the bread that belongs to children and give it to dogs. True, Lord. But the dog does eat from the crumbs left over from the table. Do you hear what she just admitted? She just admitted, I'm a dog. I am dog, you're right. You are right about me, because I know me. And you see me all the way down into the kidneys. You see me in my intestines. You know my heart, and it is true. But Lord, be merciful to me. Oh, woman. That's what he says. Oh, woman! I have not seen so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. No one approached me like you approached me. And today, be it unto thee according to all thy asked, and her daughter was made whole immediately. You mean you feel like something's missing in your life? Maybe it's because you're not willing to stand in front of God and go take an x-ray all the way down to the core. Man, David can say that. Why can David say that? David can say that. Man, I am followed. I have followed and trusted in God. God, you can test me. You can examine me. You can send the waves and the storm and the winds, and you can shake my life. You can rock my house because I've built my life on you. I have walked in my integrity. Man, David, man, he trusted in God. Man, David was tested by God. Third, verse 3, David wanted to be true to God. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Man, when your focus is on the Lord, look here, when your focus is on the Lord, look here, when your focus is on the Lord, you don't need these false authenticators. Man, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When your eyes are on Jesus, that's all you need. Yeah, but they don't like me, and they talked bad about me, and they were mean to me, and she said hateful things, and I know they were talking about me on Facebook. They didn't say my name, but I just know it was me. Man, welcome to the club. You can't hurt a dead man. And if you know yourself to be a dog, then whatever anybody accuses you of is perfectly fine because I know I'm a dog. You go, Pastor, I don't like this decision you made. Man, if you knew all the other decisions I made, you really wouldn't like me. Man, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, my life isn't my own anyway. Man, when your eyes are on Jesus, that's all you need. Man, David says, God, examine me. David lived in an examined life. Catch me, hang with me, we're going to go fast. David lived an excluded life. Look, when you're satisfied in the Lord, you see right through cheap imitation. When you're satisfied with the Lord, you see right through cheap imitation. You recognize, man, this thing, this promises to be so good. It promises to lift you up. It promises to make your day. Oh, but man, you can see right through it. You know that that thing is only going to bring you down. This relationship, it promises to be so exciting. It promises to be so refreshing. It promises to be so invigorating. But what you see is you see right through it. You know all it's going to do is ruin your marriage. Man, you know that that's going to jeopardize the relationship with your kids. Man, you know, partaking in that is going to kill your love for Jesus. Man, when your eyes are on Jesus, when you are satisfied with Jesus, you see right through cheap imitation. You see right through the fake stuff. But you can count on it. Satan will always look for opportunities to throw you the fake stuff. You can count on it. Satan will always look for opportunities to get you off track. And when you start wearing your feelings on your sleeves, when you start living for the approval of men rather than the acceptance found in God through Jesus Christ, man, count on it. Satan moves in and starts whispering, oh, can you believe they did that? Can you believe she said that? Can you believe they went there? Can you believe they got away with that? Man, all of a sudden, resentment, bitterness, unforgiving spirit, crankiness, grumpiness. That's the word murmuring, by the way. Grumpy. Probably not something we should talk about in the Baptist church, but we'll move on. Man, all of a sudden, resentful, bitter, grumpy, unforgiving, cranky. Man, joy's out the window, happiness out the window. Why? Because you're no longer satisfied in who you are in Christ. Man, look at David. Look at verse 4, verse 5. Man, an excluded life. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I sit not with the wicked. Man, David, when he was mistreated, when he was accused, man, he knew, man, I need my life examined by God. God, I've trusted in you. God, you test me. And God, I want to be true to you and to you only. But man, David needed an excluded life. David also needed to avoid wrong influences. Man, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Man, you remember Jonah? Man, Jonah wants to run from God. Man, Satan makes sure that there's a boat available. Man, when you want to run from God, count on it. There's a boat available. Count on it. There's a friend available. Count on it. There's a place available. Man, when you want to run from God, you can count on it. Satan will make it available. David excluded himself from people who were pretending to be something that they really weren't. There are the kind of people who love to sing about Jesus on Sunday, but they spend the rest of their week living for themselves. Man, that's not integrity. That's two lives. Man, a good question to ask yourself, are you sitting in church tonight, but you'll be sitting with the wicked tomorrow? And that's not integrity. That's two lives. That's what James would say is double-mindedness. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't want both. You can't want the world and mammon. You can't want the world and Jesus. You can't want mammon and God. You can't want worldliness and spirituality. You can't want the both. You can't live for them both, man. You must choose, because you will be a servant to one. Man, no doubt about it, you're serving something. The question is, what are you serving? Man, the only thing that can satisfy a relationship with God, strength in Christ, standing on God's word, tested, tried, but true to God. The only thing that really matters, the only thing you really need, or are you living and pursuing and searching? Man, wrong influences, wrong places, wickedness. Man, David was aware of the influences and he stayed away from them. I don't have time to unpack all these. Romans 16, verse 17. Look it up for homework later. Man, Proverbs 24, verse 1. Look it up for homework later. Proverbs 14, verse 7. All those verses, what do they talk about? They talk about avoiding the kind of people who are going to pull you away from God. Talking about avoiding the kind of people who are contrary to God's word. Determined to keep your distance from people who walk contrary to God's word. Just determine right now. You say, Pastor, that's easy for you because you work at the church. Hey, listen, I'm not talking about your work relationships. I'm talking about after hours. I'm talking about where you spend your free time. I'm talking about where you hang out. Hey, you want to clear the lunchroom, just sit down in the middle of the lunchroom, get your box out, open it up, get your PB&J out, and your cup of sweet tea or whatever it is, and then get your Bible out, open it up, and leave it sit flat on the table. Man, all those people that want to just talk about this or that or show you pictures that you shouldn't look at or talk bad about him or her, oh man, they'll sit at a different table. Yeah, but then people will think they'll think you're what? A believer? A child of God? Man, avoid the wrong influences. David, I have not sat with vain persons. I will not go with the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Man, avoid wrong influences. Notice this about David. Man, he was aware of wicked identity. Did you catch it? How David can spot them. Look how he spots them. Vain persons. That's an interesting word. The word vain persons or vain people, it literally means empty, shallow, fake. Empty, shallow, fake. Look at the word dissemblers. Man, assemble. Man, that's build. That's build up, build up. David says, there are people who build up, assemblers. I want to hang around the people who build me up. Man, but there also are dissemblers. People are building, tearing down, destructing. Man, they're just causing havoc in your life. Not building up your marriage, tearing down your marriage. Man, not building up your relationship with God, tearing down your relationship with God. Not building up your wife, tearing down your wife. Not building up your husband, tearing down your husband. Man, some people just like to tear people down. Cutting, cranky, complaining. Dissemblers. Man, vain, empty, shallow. I stay away from them. Man, dissemblers, tearing down, cutting down, cranky, never anything good to say, only complaining about all the stuff that they saw that was wrong. Complaining. Man, evildoers. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I don't need to explain that one, do I? Man, wicked. Fun exercise for you this evening. Look up all the ways that the word wicked is used in the Bible. It's not all the ways you think it is. The word wicked is used in conjunction with words like rebellious, slanderous. That's a Bible way of saying gossipy. Can't talk about cranky, can't talk about gossipy. Got it. Man, lying. Man, look up all the ways wicked is used in conjunction with all these other things. Man, God says, this is, man, we think wicked, wicked. These are really wicked people. Man, the Bible has a different definition of wicked than we do. And David says, I stay away from those kind of people. Man, aware of a wicked identity. Listen to the verse. Even a child is known by his doings. Isn't that a great verse? Even the child is known by his doing. It's like that one kid in the church, you see him coming down the hallway, and you're like, oh man, I wish I was his parent for about a week. Because if I was, that little boy, oh boy, you know, whatever it is, right? Amen. Even a child is known by his doing. Here come the pastor's kids, right? Even a child is known by his doings. Man, we understand that when it relates to children. Man, but God is saying that to us. God is saying, listen, even a child. You understand this about a kid. If it's true about children, it's true about you. So, here's a convicting question. How are you known? How are you known? Man, no, gossipy, cranky, complaining, wicked, dissembler, tearing down, cutting down, evil. Is that how you're known? Even a child known by his doings. Man, is that how you want to be known? Is that how you're known? Man, don't give into a fatalistic spirit. Oh, I'm just cranky. Everybody thinks I'm complaining. Everybody thinks I'm rebellious. So I might as well show them. No. Man, it's not just fatalistic. It's not fatalistic. David's turning his attention to God, saying, God, man, save these people. Man, listen to him later. Man, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand full of bribes. Man, but as for me, redeem me and be merciful to me. Man, if that's you tonight, man, that's an easy prayer. God, redeem me, be merciful to me. God, bring me out of that and show me mercy and show me grace in spite of myself. God, bring me out of that and show me mercy and grace in spite of myself. Last one, there's an express life. I'll go fast. An express life. Man, an examined life, an excluded life. Number three, an express life. Hey, listen, our integrity is the accumulation of our sanctification. Integrity is the accumulation of our sanctification. Sanctification, don't get afraid of that word. Sanctification, the process by which we become like Christ. Man, justification, salvation, made available, made perfect, made clean, right instantaneously. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, justified. Man, sanctification, the journey, the process by which we become like Jesus, in that every day I die daily. Every day it's moving closer to Jesus, every day. Our integrity is the accumulation of our sanctification. Follow me. Man, becoming more like Jesus. Jesus Christ was forgiving. Man, every day learning to be more forgiving. How many of you know sometimes forgiveness is easy, sometimes forgiveness is hard. Man, but learning to be more like Christ every day. Man, Christ was forgiving. I want to be forgiving. Man, Christ was giving. Man, learning to be better givers every day. How many of you know it's hard sometimes to reach in and pull out some of that green stuff, not mold, cash, and give it away? And give it away. And that gets difficult sometimes. Maybe we like to hold on to it, hoard it for ourselves. Man, when Christ was giving, never more like God than when we are giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. Man, the way God wants to be known, God wants to be known. I am the greatest giver of them all. Why? Because I gave you Jesus. Man, but learning to be better givers. Man, Christ was kind. Man, learning to just be kind. We live in a mean, cruel world. We live in a nasty world where you can call nasty names to nasty people because they're doing nasty things. Nasty's a funny word. Man, we live in a very unkind world. Man, Christ was the kindest of them all. Man, even the children loved to come and sit at Jesus' feet. Why? Because he wasn't unkind, because he was kind to them. Man, that everywhere he went, full of mercy, full of grace, full of truth. Man, it's possible to say something that is true, but unkind. It's possible to say something that is true, but you're saying it in a mean way. Man, it's possible to say something that is true, but to say it in a way that's kind. We don't have to call names. We know this. Man, Christ was kind. We should grow in our sanctification. More like Jesus means being more kind. Man, even to people that aren't kind to us. Our integrity is the accumulation. Listen. Our integrity is the accumulation of our sanctification. The more like Jesus you are, man, that's the evidence of the integrity that you have. Our integrity is not our giftedness. Our integrity is not our personality. Our integrity is not our religiousness. Our integrity is not our goodness. Our integrity is the accumulation of our sanctification. Listen to how David says it. Verse 6, 7, and 8. I'll be done. You're falling asleep, so stay with me. Verse 1. I'll wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. David says, I want to be pure. Personal purity. I want to be pure with you, God. I want to stand in front of you, God. I want to be pure in your eyes, God. Verse 7, that I may publish the voice, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. What does David do? David wants to praise the Lord. David wants to be pure in front of the Lord. David wants to praise the Lord. Last one, David wants to pursue the Lord. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Now I'm the pastor, so I'm a little biased on this point. But I sure love it when the church gets together. And you're going, of course, you're the guy that gets to talk the whole time. Man, there's something good about God's people getting together. Oh, it was good. It was a good thing for God's people to dwell together, be together, come together in unity. Man, it's a good thing for God's people to get together. Man, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Man, I was glad when they said, it's church time. Man, can you say that? Can I say that? Man, sometimes the answer is no. Now, sometimes it's Wednesday, running late, long day, lots of meetings, boss is on my back, kids got in trouble at school. Oh, here we go. It's Psalms 26. And when's he going to be done with the Psalms? It's only like 125 more. Don't worry. That's bad. That's discouraging. Man, I was glad I got to go study God's word, be with God's people, be moved by God's spirit. Man, listen to God's word. Man, I was glad. It was a good thing to dwell together in the house of the Lord. I hope you can say that. Man, that's our desire for you to be able to say that. Man, examine me, Lord. I mean, all the way down to the kidneys. Examine me. For I have walked in mine integrity. For I shall walk in mine integrity. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you would. Father, Give us lives built on your word. Give us a love for your word. Give us a passion, a hunger for your word. Move us according to your word. Shape us by your word. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The altar is